With our series here, and if should be in the background here soon, we're talking about photoshopping the family picture. That's a series that we're on this morning. Now, how many remember what we talked about last week? Just quiet down, everybody. It's a little bit too loud right now. What was that? Anger. Yep. What were the 3 points that we had last week? Yep. Slow down, overlook, and turn. Some simple points there. Slow down, overlook, and turn. We need to slow down our anger. We need to calm down a little bit. Slow it down. The Bible talks about slowing it down. All right? Then we need to get perspective. We need to look at the background, see more in the person that we're angry at. You have to realize that there's an enemy in the background. There's God in the background who loves that person you're angry at. And then also begin turning your anger towards who it belongs to the enemy. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, the Bible says. That's not who our enemy is. It's not flesh and blood. It's not a person. All right? There's an enemy behind some of the things that we're really angry about. Okay? Sometimes it is just silly decisions. Sometimes whatever. You might just be mad at stupid. I don't know. Maybe some people, we just get mad at stupid or whatever, and we're just, you know. But that anger oftentimes is fueled by something else. Maybe that anger that begins coming inside of us, it gets fueled by something else. And we need to realize there's an enemy that is trying to fuel that anger inside of us because it blinds us. We just talked about blinders here just a minute ago. And then we need to turn our anger towards the right thing and turn our love and attention to God and his love for us. So again, that's what we talked about last week. We're talking about photoshopping the family picture in this series. And what we're doing is that we all have a picture of family. Wherever your background is, wherever you come from, you have a picture of what and who family should look like, what it should be, or what it shouldn't be. And some of those pictures are good pictures. Some of those pictures are not very good pictures. Some of those pictures are biblical. Some of those pictures are not biblical. And so anyway, today in this series, what we're talking about is contrast, cut, and clarity. Can you say that with me? Contrast, cut, and clarity. One more time. Contrast, cut, and clarity. Okay? Those are our 3 points today. Contrast, cut, and clarity. And so I'm going to go through here just the definition of contrast. And it's a very simple definition. It says to set off in contrast, compare, or praise in respect to differences. The difference or degree of difference between things having similar or comparable natures. A comparison of similar objects to the set of their dissimilar qualities. Or a person or thing that exhibits differences when compared with another. All right, basically, contrast is differences. Differences. There's difference. And each of you here are different from one another. Each of you here paint a contrast in the picture of Allentown Victory. Each of you here are different family members of Allentown Victory Church. And each of you are different. And therefore, there is contrast in our church. There's lots of contrast in our church. And I love that. I love that. I really do. I love that there is many different types of people, different backgrounds, different thought ways of thinking that are in this church. And this is what contrast means. And you know, God has made each of us different, and we need to recognize the differences in one another. What happens is that oftentimes when we recognize differences, we recognize something negative. When we look at someone else and we see that they're different, we don't normally say that as something positive. We're like, they're different. You know, we'll put the quotations about, or they're a little bit weird, you know, whatever. We have this different notation of what different is, and it's a bad notation. If someone's oftentimes different than you, then it's, you know. Normally, it's just not looked upon as something good, but it is something good. Granted, yeah, there are things that are wrong. We're not talking about sin, but I'm talking about the qualities of people. Can you see the differences in the people around you? Can you see the differences in your family members? Your family members in your family are different. There are differences in them. Some of those differences really annoy us. But there's other times when those differences, we cherish them and are so glad. And sometimes those same things that annoy us are also sometimes the same things we cherish when we need them. When we need them. Oftentimes when we need that quality trait that a family member has, then all of a sudden we cherish them. But at other times, when we don't need it, we don't appreciate it. And we can put it down. In any case, we're talking about contrast here. Contrast. We're talking about differences. And in your family picture, there is contrast. There is differences. Now, I want to look at two family members in the Bible and look at the contrast that they have in their lives. And does anyone know who was related to John the Baptist? Jesus and John the Baptist were cousins. Jesus and John the Baptist were cousins. They were born 6 months apart. So first, I want to tell you a little bit about their similarities. They were cousins 6 months apart. They both had the same middle name. Did you know that? The middle name, the. John the Baptist, Jesus the Christ. Okay, yeah, yeah. Drum roll. Ha, ha, ha. They were both appointed by God. Both John and Jesus were appointed by God. They both were baptizing people. Both came baptizing. Right? Both saying the kingdom of God is at hand. Both had some really big issues with the religious institutions of the day. Or I should say more the Pharisees, the people in some of those religious institutions. Both of them had major issues with Pharisees and Sadducees. And both of them had Pharisees and Sadducees that had major issues with them. So they were very similar in that. Okay? They both knew and understood their purpose on earth. They both had the same goal or cause for God and his kingdom. And they both had another trait that we'll talk about in a little bit. But how about some of the differences? If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew 3, 1 through 6, or page 850 in the Blue Bibles. Page 850 in the Blue Bibles, Matthew 3, 1 through 6. It says here in Matthew 3, 1, it says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. So right there, there's one thing. He came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who has spoken of the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Right? So there you have a few unique qualities about John. And also another quality about John's disciples. John's disciples fasted. Jesus' disciples did not fast, right? Jesus went into the wilderness, all right? But that's not where his main ministry was at. John's main ministry was in the location of the wilderness. All right, John was clothed in camel's hair. Okay, that was not what Jesus was clothed in. They did not have the same fashion sense. All right, Jesus's garment was actually considered very expensive. When he was being crucified, the soldiers went to separate to cast lots for his garment because he had a one-piece garment, and usually that signified something a little more expensive. And they did not want to tear the garment because it was a very nice one-piece garment. All right, so they actually cast lots for it. So they wore very different clothing. It does not record anywhere that Jesus was eating locust and honey. It does show that, you know, he did turn some stuff into wine. He ate with the sinners and partied with them for a while. So it does show a little bit different, you know, and partied. Don't take that out of context. Anyway, he hung out with sinners, and it didn't show that he ate that kind of stuff. All right, and also their baptisms was different. John baptized in water, but Jesus baptized in spirit and fire, it said. All right, that was the baptisms of Jesus, all right, is what it was talking about there. So it's really different baptism, and really Jesus himself, they both baptized, the disciples baptized, Jesus' disciples baptized in water, but Jesus himself never baptized anyone in water. Okay, he never baptized anyone in water, his disciples did. All right, but John was actively baptizing people in water. So you see, these were the contrast, all right? You have two family members, Jesus and John, very different, but yet also somewhat the same in the sense that they had the same purpose, the same cause. God was at the center of their life. God was at the cause. They were doing it for God's kingdom to expand. They were doing it and they were following God. They knew what their purpose was on earth. They had a very fine-tuned purpose and knew that it was for God. It is for him. Church, we need to understand our purpose. If you don't understand your purpose, you will never understand the church's purpose. Let me say it again. If you don't understand your purpose, you will never understand nor be able to really serve too joyfully in the church for too long. Because your purpose and the church's purpose is the same. It should be the same. It should have the cause. The cause is the same. Your function and how you function is different, all right? But we're all one body, and there's the same cause that we're going for. So anyway, contrast, all right? There was differences. There were differences, but yet both differences were a blessing. Both differences were complementary of each other, but they very well could have conflicted, and they had opportunity to conflict with each other. But what we need to do is that we need to be appreciating the differences in one another. Because God has put you for something here on this earth. He's put you here in your family, in your personal family, for something. Okay, He's put you in this church family for something. We need to be appreciating the differences in one another, not just putting them down. The second thing I want to talk about is cut. Okay, is cut. And the definition of cut here is to make by or as if by cutting, to carve or to shape by grinding. God cuts away at us. God is literally shaping us. Day in and day out, God is trying to shape us. He is trying to mold us. He's trying to put us and so that we can fit in the purpose, in the cause of Christ where He wants us to be. You know, everyone knows as a kid you have those, you can't fit a square peg in a round hole, right? We've all heard that saying. You can all picture that, right? That little square peg in the round hole just doesn't fit. God has a place. God has a shape for you. God has gifts and talents, purposes. He has a place for you to be fitting into. But you can't fit in there. We cannot fit in there if we're trying to do it our own way. God needs to mold us. He needs to shape us. He needs to take off some of the rough edges. He needs to cut us over here. He needs to shape us over here. You know, just like a diamond. You know, a diamond needs to be shaped. It needs to be cut. And God is cutting away at some of the granite, some of the other stuff that's around us. He's trying to dig out the diamond. He's trying to dig out that which He's placed inside of you. But a lot of times the dirt, the different things that are around us need to be taken away and need to be taken out of the way. And God is working on that in our lives. He is shaping us right now. I put here, there's a purpose for the differences. And there are differences for a purpose. Remember, God made each of us different for a different purpose than you, than yourself. And God made you different for a specific purpose. We need to understand and appreciate the differences in one another and realize that they're not only differences, there's contrast, but there's a cut, there's a shape, there's a purpose. There's a purpose. You have a purpose. That's your cut. God is cutting you right now for your purpose. When He makes a cut, when He makes an incision, when He grinds this off, when He begins shaping you to be, let's say, a round peg, because He wants you to go into a round hole. He wants you to be fitted where He's placing you. And that's what He's doing right now. If God wants you to be a doctor, guess what? He's going to be shaping you into a doctor. All of a sudden, you're going to have a passion for those that are sick. You're going to have a passion for those to see people get well. You're going to all of a sudden find yourself, you're going to start wanting to study more to find out more about that. You're going to have certain tools and traits, certain passions about you. But even every doctor is unique. You might have a certain passion, a passion for hearts. There's something about hearts. You just want to figure out what's going on with the heart. All right, and all of a sudden, God begins shaping us through some of our passions, through some of our skills, through some of our talents, through some of our circumstances. God is shaping us right now. Let's turn right now to Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah 18, 1 through 6, page 684. Page 684, Jeremiah 18, 1 through 6. It says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, Jeremiah 18, 1 through 6. And the vessel that he made was of clay, was marred in the hand of the potter. Let me just stop right there. I don't know where you're at today, but maybe you're a marred piece of clay. Maybe you are a messed up piece of clay right now. Maybe God was trying to work something in you, and all of a sudden, whatever it was seemed to collapse, all right? Maybe whatever you felt like was on the horizon just seemed to collapse in your life. Right here, Jeremiah is being brought to a potter and sees that. All of a sudden, a marred piece of clay, it got messed up. But all of a sudden, it gets back on the potter wheel. And in God's hands, it can become something. I don't know what's happened recently in your life. I don't know what's happened yesterday, the week before. But God can redeem the time. God can make changes that you cannot make. You don't think that just because you messed up that all of a sudden your destiny is over. No, God wants you back on the potter's wheel. God is trying to shape. He's trying to form. He's trying to cut. But what happens is that oftentimes we get off the potter's wheel. We jump off. We jump off too soon. And sometimes we think we're ready. We're already cut out for something that we're not cut out for yet. Sometimes we think we're cut out for something we're not really cut out for yet. And God's saying, I want you to stay on the wheel a little bit longer. Yeah, you're getting there, but you're not there yet. Or you're going the wrong direction. That's not what I've shaped you for. You're going to get messed up if you try to flow like that. You're going to get messed up if you try to do that. God is trying to shape us, and he's putting us on the potter wheel. And no matter what, even if we've been marred, let's go back to what the scripture says here. And it says, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hands, O house of Israel. Church, you are in God's hands when you believe in Christ. But we got to make sure we stay in God's hands, not move outside of his protection, not move outside of his will. We want to move in his will. Why? God has placed you on this earth for a reason. You are here and you have a purpose here. And God is shaping you and fitting you for those purposes. And it's different from the person next to you. It's different from the person across the aisle from you. You have a shape and purpose that's unique to you, but that is needed for the body to function. I function in one way, but not everyone can function like I function. And not everyone can function like you function. Not everyone has the same purpose that you have. Again, we have the same cause. We have the same end goal. It's for God, for his kingdom. He has the destiny's purposes here. We are here on this earth for a reason, and we know that it's for God. It's all for him. And if we have that same goal, we'll move in the same direction everything we're doing. But if that goal is not the same, if our goal is me, myself, and I'm living for me. I'm living to make a life for myself. I'm living to make lots of money, or God's gifted me in business so that I can make money. No, you're wrong. You're wrong. You've missed the cause. You've missed the end goal. You're stunted in your sight and in your growth if that's what you think it's all about. You are stunted. No, he might have gifted you to make money, but for what purpose? Just to make money for yourself? That's not the end goal. The end goal is for God and his kingdom. Whatever that might be, wherever it might be at, I don't know. Whatever God has a purpose for you. Let's turn here to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14, page 1020. 1 Corinthians 12, 14. Page 120. It says, for in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, and this is talking about the body of Christ, talking about the church, the family, the church body, okay? Because we're considered the body of Christ. That's what God calls the church, the body of Christ. He says, for in fact, the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. Not as you pleased. Not as you pleased. Well, I would like to be the preacher. It's not as you pleased. I would like to be over this. I would like to be doing this. No, as God has pleased, he has placed you. As God has pleased, he has placed you in the body for a reason, in your family for a reason. God, I wish I had another family. God has placed you in your family for a purpose, for a reason. God, I don't like this person. No, God has placed you in your family. God has placed you in your spiritual family. God places us. I don't like this place. God places us as he's pleased. Verse 19, and if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Church, we need each other. We all have different functions. And if we come and say, well, I'm not really needed, no, you're needed. You're needed. Well, I'm not doing anything. Yeah, but you understand, maybe you're just getting into the body. Maybe you're beginning to get into your function. You will discover your function, what you can do, what God has you here for. There is a purpose. But I don't like it. It's as God pleases. Why? Because it's about the cause of Christ. It's not about what we like to do or don't like to do. Look, God designs passions inside of us. But we need to understand that our passions sometimes need to skip what we're doing, okay? You're like, well, I don't like cleaning toilets. Who here likes cleaning toilets? Let me just see a raise of hand. Who likes cleaning toilets? Anyone? Really? No one? I'm surprised, right? But it needs to be done. Doesn't somebody have to clean toilets? Doesn't somebody have to do the cleaning? Here's the thing. We are going to run into things in whatever we're doing that we do not want to do, or we feel like, I'm not gifted to this, whatever it is, I don't know, all right? But someone needs to do it. Someone has to do some of the things that we don't like doing. But here's the thing. If we can understand the purpose, we need to clean toilets. We don't need to be having filthy toilets. Why? Because then no one's going to be going to the bathroom. And therefore, no one's going to come to church because they think that they can't go to the bathroom at all because the toilets are all filthy. All right? There's a purpose for cleaning the toilets. You clean your toilets at home, right? Pastor talked dirty today at church. We need to reckon what we're doing and not just see, look, you are not what you do, all right? You are not, just because you might clean toilets or do something doesn't mean that's who you are. But we need to realize what we're doing it for, the purpose. Yeah, guess what? You might be able to design a Boeing 747. All right? You may be able to be a genius. But we all still need to be serving in whatever capacity we're meant to be working in right now. And we're meant to be working in right now. You know, when I was in church, growing up in church, I had to do a lot of things that I did not necessarily like doing, but I had to learn to like to do it. I had to learn and reckon my passions with the goal. Okay, you know what? I'm doing this for a purpose. I had to look past what I'm doing and see what God was doing. I had to look past what I was doing and see what God was doing. All right, God's working on something in my life. My pride, obviously I think I'm better than this. Or somehow I think I'm only as good as, I don't know, whatever it is. Or the past only things I can do this. Man, maybe you can do a lot more. But God, we're on the potter's wheel, and God is still shaping us. And while he's shaping us, God will have us do some necessary things for the same cause in which he's shaping us for. God is shaping you for his kingdom, but he'll have you do things also in the meantime while you're being shaped for his kingdom. Whatever he's going to have you be doing is for his kingdom. And even if there's a meantime, it's going to be something for his kingdom. And in whatever you're doing, God is shaping you. Whether you're scrubbing the toilets, God's shaping you. Now, here's the funny thing, that none of us have to clean the toilets here because there's a janitor here, right? So I'm using something that doesn't exist for any of us here. But I'm giving that example because it's dirty work, right? Even if you're cleaning toilets, God's working. God can be working on us, working on our life, working on our character, shaping us to be the next senior pastor of a church while we're cleaning toilets. Well, how could he do that? Simple. Maybe he's going to have you think of scripture verses as you're cleaning dirty stuff out. Maybe he's going to show you that a lot of people have dirt around them and constantly need to be cleaned all the time, just like what you're doing. Maybe he's going to teach you some wax on, wax off stuff like Karate Kid. I don't know. You know, God could be showing us, why don't you start singing a song? I know you don't like doing, but why don't you start singing so that you learn how to deal with the conflict in your own soul and learn how to raise up joy in the midst of something that's depressing or that might feel depressing. Why don't you do this so you can appreciate those that will do this later on? There's a purpose in whatever you're doing. And God can shape you and train you wherever you're at. Don't think you're better than anything. And don't think you are what you're doing. God is shaping you for a purpose. He's cutting and designing us. And we're all shaped a little bit different, and we need to appreciate the differences that God is using and doing inside each of us. The next point is clarity. Clarity. This just means the quality of state of being clear. Clarity, being clear. Okay? We need to see clearly the positive role the differences and purposes have. We need to clearly see the positive role of, let's say, cleaning toilets. We need to see the positive role of someone that has a stubborn will. We need to see the positive role of someone who is just, let's say, just different than you. Maybe they have a different personality. Maybe they're sanguine and you're melancholy, if you guys know what that means. And maybe someone's really happy and someone's really always like, you know, just they're kind of into themselves. It's always musical or something like that. Or maybe someone's really organized, but someone is just all over the place. Very flexible. Someone's very flexible, someone else is not. They're a little more stringent. They like structure. Are any of those bad necessarily? In and of themselves, no. Can all of those be taken to the extreme? Of course. Of course. And oftentimes that's what we see. Oftentimes when we see something different, we see the extreme of something different. We see the extreme of that person, man, they just do whatever they want to do. You know, they have no structure in their life. They come here, they go there. But yet flexibility is something good. But when it's brought to an extreme, yeah, it could be something really negative. Understood. Here we have let's go on. I'm putting here. So again, we need to clearly see, all right, have clarity. And because how can we encourage one another if we don't clearly see the gold? If we don't clearly see the good, if we don't clearly see the things that are different in the body and one another, how can we encourage it? If I don't recognize that you're a nose in the body of Christ, if I don't recognize that you're a foot in the family, all right? If I don't recognize that, how can I even encourage you in that? We need to be recognizing the differences. We need to recognize and thank God for those that love cooking and baking and hospitality. Thank God for them, all right? We need to thank God for those that work in the children's and nursery. I am just not shaped for that, all right? I can do it. God will grace me for a while, but it's not my best top talent, but I can appreciate those that do it. And I can see those that are gifted in that. I can see those that are gifted to work with kids, those that are gifted to work with others. Man, we can begin seeing that. We want to encourage those differences out. Man, I'm encouraged when I see someone that's very flexible and they can just go with anything right at the fly. I appreciate that. And we should learn to appreciate that. I appreciate someone that's structured, that's very organized. I appreciate structure because you can get some things done much faster when there's structure. Likewise, when you're flexible, all right? We need to begin appreciating the differences and recognizing them. If all you see is dirt, if all you see is what's wrong, if all you see is the diamond in the rough, but you don't even see the diamond, you just see the rough, then we're getting blinded. We're not seeing God. We want to be able to see God in one another, but also in yourself. Also in yourself, what is God doing in you? And realize that God is shaping you. He's also shaping someone else and making them different. And we need to clearly have clarity to see that. We need to clearly see that. Let's turn to page 940 in our Bibles. Page 940. That's John 3, 22 through 36. Here you have John, page 940, John 3, 22. Here you have John the Baptist, okay? And here he's getting tempted. There's a temptation here that's going to happen to him, a temptation to dishonor and discredit Jesus. Dishonor, remember we talked about honor. Honor is putting heavy weight, heavy value upon someone. Dishonor is to treat as common. It's to remove. Discrediting means to remove the value from something. To remove the value from something. Oftentimes we discredit differences. We discredit someone else's purposes. We devalue them. We dishonor. Church, what I'm trying to do here and see here is a culture in our family, in our church family, of love, honor, and appreciation. This is where I'm leading us to right now. This is where we're going with the messages right now. It's a culture of love, honor, and appreciation. And to fight that culture of the world that constantly discredits, dishonors, puts down, and cuts the wrong way at people. Here you have John. It says, after these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. Now, this was actually his disciples baptizing. Now, John also was baptizing in Enon near Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John had not yet been thrown into prison. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, speaking of Jesus, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing and all are coming to him. So here you have basically Jesus and his disciples. The disciples are baptizing in water just down the street from John. And the disciples of John are saying, hey, John, everyone's going to this guy. Everyone's not going to you anymore. What are you going to do about it, John? Like, what's going on, John? His disciples are feeling a little less small right now because someone else is becoming bigger. John had an opportunity right now to be similar to what the rest of the world is. What happens when we see someone rising up or someone doing good? When we see someone that's different and we can put them down really easily. Here, John could have easily dismissed him and said, oh, he's just starting out, or, you know, oh, just Jesus. He's just been around ministry for 3 years now, you know. He's just the big thing for this second. Don't worry, he'll blow by. I mean, he could have done something like that. Now, obviously, we know it's not what he did, but I say that because oftentimes we'll do something like that. But let's see what he did. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. And it keeps going there. You know, this is a test of our heart to see that if we really understand contrast, cut, and clarity. This makes it clear to us right here. What happens when someone else does better than you? What happens when someone else is doing something good and a good report or a testimony is given? How do you react inside? How do you react inside? Are you happy for them? Do you rejoice with them and for them like John did for his cousin here, Jesus, the one he was sent before? But John said, I was here. John said, I was here before him. I was doing this so many years before he was doing it. He said, I must decrease and he must increase. So this is a test to see if we truly understand the differences and appreciate them in others. That's just one test. Let's go to another one here. Page 859, last scripture here. Matthew 11:2, page 859. See, we can only rejoice in someone else's, when someone else is doing good, when we know who we are. When we know who we are. If we are not sure who we are, if we're insecure, we'll want to bring everyone down to our level. When we see someone that's different, all of a sudden we can begin doubting what we do. When we see someone that's doing something different than us, wearing camel's hair, eating locusts, well, you know, that's not right. You shouldn't do that. That's not what I do. And what happens, we begin questioning what we do, if what we're doing is right or wrong. So what we do is that we tell them to conform to us. So that way we feel better. Oh, don't do it that way. That's not the right way to do it. Does it really matter? Does it really matter? Is it a biblical thing that they're doing wrong? Oftentimes, we get really picky about little nonsensical things. Little things that really do not matter that much. In any case, he rejoiced. John knew what his purpose was, and therefore, he was able to appreciate Jesus' purpose and understand his. Here we're talking about Jesus. Page 59, and when John had heard in prison, John was in prison now, about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, are you the coming one or do we look for another? So here John's been thrown into prison. It's really the end of his ministry, okay? He's about to die. He's about to get beheaded real soon. And here he's like, did my life count? Are you the Jesus? You know, I baptize you, Jesus. You're my cousin. I believe you're the Lord, but are you really the one coming? Are you really the one? All the time there's sometimes moments of doubt when we begin wondering, even in others. But here Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things which you heard, hear, and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Jesus made it clear. He brought clarity to the situation. Even when there was doubt, Jesus knew his purpose. And he said, don't worry, John. The road that you were paving was the right road. It was the right road. Let me ask you, when people begin questioning you, here we're talking about how to treat others, but what happens when you get treated poorly? What happens when people begin questioning what you're doing and wondering, are you really serving God? Are you even a Christian? You know, are you even doing this? I just want to see how Jesus responded to this, because Jesus right here could have discredited John, saying, man, look at this guy. You know, listen, now he's wondering who I am, and look at him, he's in prison now. Who does he think he is? He didn't do that, of course. He's Jesus. But what did Jesus do?
It says, as they depart, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. Jesus could have discredited him for doubting him. He could have got mad because he was like, are you sure this is really? He could have missed the difference there. He could have missed the contrast. He could have looked at it poorly, but he didn't. He honored John, even the opportunity when he could have dishonored him. Church, we have opportunities all the time to dishonor and discredit those around us. And they often happen because of our differences. They often happen because of our differences. They often happen because, oh, he's functioning different than me, and now sometimes we'll just put him down. Church, I want us to have a culture of honor, of love, and appreciation to one another. Jesus and John both showed that when they had opportunities to show something else. We need to be doing that to one another. I just want to take a few minutes right now, and I want us to get together in our families. We call this response time. All right, I want us to get together in our families right now, and we talked again about contrast, cut, and clarity. And what I want us to do right now is that I want us to, if we have our families here today, I want us to get together with our families. If we're here by ourselves and we're just single by ourselves, I want us to get by the couches. And what we're going to be doing is that I want you to think about someone in your family that's different than you. All right, that does something different. All right, they're different, and how are they different? And how is that positive? How is that a good thing? All right, I want you to find a difference in a family member and point it out and encourage it. Praise it clearly, with clarity, praise it and encourage it. All right, so first you have to recognize that you're different, but also recognize how that difference in them is good. How it's good and how it's needed in your family. Now, if you're here and you're single, I would like you to do that with someone else in the group. Or if you don't know too many people in the group, in the singles group, then I'd like you to think about someone that you know and just share that with the group, saying, you know, I have this person at home, and you know what? They're different. They're so different than me. But you know what? I appreciate that they are really organized. I appreciate that they're very patient because I'm having trouble with that. I appreciate this, and I just want you to think of something to encourage them by. So right now, we're just going to take a few minutes, not that long, all right? 3-4 minutes here. I just want to get together in families, or if you're here by yourselves, to get together on the couches and just gather on there. Like groups of about 4 or 5, no more than that, all right? So let's break up. We call it response time, guys. Let's get up. Let's mix it up a little bit. We want to put some action to what we're talking about here. Peace for those whose confidence is tender. And that's fine. At this point, we're going to dismiss everyone just a second here. If you guys are still discussing, go ahead and stay in your group and discuss. Again, this is a point in time of encouragement to one another, especially your family members, church. Find someone, share with someone again, what is something that's different than you? They differ in this and learn to appreciate and remember their difference. Remember what you're saying to them today. Remember what you're thinking about them, because you're going to have an opportunity to be mad at them for that same difference. You're most likely going to have an opportunity to be frustrated because they're different from you in that very aspect. But remember, God placed that difference in them. Help cultivate it. Help encourage it. Help encourage in the right format, in the right ways, the right venues. All right? So that's what I'm encouraging you to do. Again, contrast, cut, and clarity. God put differences in our family. He's put purposes for those differences. All right? And he wants them to be clearly seen by ourselves and by others. Again, contrast. There are differences in your family, in your church family. There's shaped, they're for a purpose, those differences. All right? We need to see them clearly and encourage them clearly in others. All right, so that's today's message. And church, if you're here, if you I'm going to do this a little bit quickly here, but if you do not know Christ and you're here today, I'm not going to do the typical altar call, but I want to encourage you, if you want to know Jesus and receive him in your heart today, I'm going to invite you to come forward here with me when you're done, or come talk to me, and I'll just pray a simple prayer with you here, just so you know that God can be God in your life, that you will be going to heaven after you die. All right, if you're not sure, you can be sure here today.